love him with all of her heart. We love him with all of our heart. Oh, blessed Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise his holy name. Glory to God. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. He's wonderful. It wasn't redeemed with silver or gold, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, he redeemed us, restored us back like we should have been in the beginning. What the first Adam done, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, come to undo all that he done to us. He sold us out, and we lost our estate as the sons of God. God upon the earth, we ruled over everything at one time. We had control over all the elements and all the creatures that the Lord God created. And Adam sold us out. And I'm so thankful that Jesus brought us back. Trees are suffering tonight. Bugs is eating them all up. And they're groaning. You can hear the wind blowing through their limbs at night, and you hear them groaning. You hear the little frogs sounding off over in the pond. I guess I don't understand what they're saying, but I'm sure the Lord does. I guess they're groaning too. The birds is groaning. Everything's groaning. To see the sons of God that's hearing the revealed word of God today come into a manifestation of the power of God. How many believe that? I believe with all my heart. You know, it's got a lot of ministers, friends, I guess. That's over the millennium. I believe it will be over there in the millennium. One brother said, now over the millennium, said the sons of God will be over there, said, you have to have an axe over here to chop a tree down, but over there you won't. You just speak to it. Well, that's true. But I think we're going to have to demonstrate this side of millennium. That we're the sons of God, or some of us is thinking we're going to be over there, is not going to be over there. And it's just like this. God's holding you and I responsible to see to it that the trees is delivered. The frogs and the birds and the deers and He's saying to it that we've got to come into our place that Jesus called us to be. And that's true sons and daughters of God. And oh, what a blessed thing it is to be able to see the revelation of God and to be able to receive it in your heart and to have a kind of a heart that wants to receive it. That wants to believe. And I'm so thankful that Jesus isn't holding us responsible for what we are now, but he's looking at what we're going to be. And that's how he looks down upon our heart and sees our desire to be like the Lord Jesus. You've got a desire to be like him, and you cry and long to be like him, and you long to be what the Bible's called you to be. And then God looks down upon that. He accepts that. And then when the devil points his finger at us, he's pointing it at Jesus. Though he can find fault in us, he can't find no fault in Jesus. Because the Bible said that the devil couldn't find no place in Jesus. Oh, how long. Where I can get to that plane where the devil can't find no place in me to hit. Every time he bucks up against it, there's Jesus there to knock it out of the way. And you know, John, we're going to come to that place down the road. But before we leave here, the devil ain't going to find no place in any of us. He's going to buck up against us and hit a live wire. Back off from us. The Bible said, and the devil departed from Jesus. You know, he hangs around awful close these days, but one day he's going to be a traveling and following us from afar off, because he'd be too afraid to try another vicious attack because he got his feathers so burned on the last one. How many is anxious to see that day roll around? My, I see wives smiling, laughing, daddies laughing, young people. That's the right chord, isn't it? Well, one thing for sure, we're going to win the war.
Amen.
Now, we're losing it. We're losing a few little skirmishes here and there. Yeah. And we lose a few little skirmishes, but we're going to win the war.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Amen.
We're going to take this mountain.
Amen.
We're going to take it. And so that's our blessed hope. And I tell you, I've been blessed today. I hadn't had no sleep for a couple nights, my wife and I, and she thought sure she couldn't get up out of the bed, and I said, rise up. We're going over here to a baptismal service. And I said, honey, I know I can't make it this morning. I can't make it. She said, you can make it. Come on, get out of there. And you know, when it comes to me preaching, I don't find no mercy at home. Don't get none. And I try to once in a while. I don't know where my brother's like it or not. And today is his birthday. I was just thinking back there, looking up there at him. He's 32 today, 32 years old. Well, 32 years ago, I was getting up at night, changing his dieties. Tell me I didn't do it. And warming his baby bottle. And then my other little brother in there crying because that fat thing then crawled down there and got his baby bottle and sucked it dry. And woke me up and I'd have to go get another baby bottle. And I was 10 years old. That's right. And I got up the next morning and cooked breakfast for the whole family. And then I ironed clothes the rest of the day. That's right. 10 years old. And I thinking about our mother while I was doing that, was laying in the next room dying. Well, I was thinking, well, Lord, it's the grace of God. We could both be here in the same little old building, covered by the blood. Love of the Lord Jesus, heading for the promised land. He's 32 and I'm 42. But oh, whether it's 32 or 42 or how old you are, if you're covered by the blood, it's a blessed thing. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And I don't know any better people around the earth than I'd rather be sojourning with than you all here. A lot of times I just look at you and I just love you so much. I want to just come up and hug the girls and the women and the daddies all like I love you. And I think it's sure going to be wonderful over there on the other side when we get over there. And we can just really express our love to one another. Now we do the best we can down here in the limited way that we are in. One of these days, these old mortal bodies are going to be changed. And it'll be marvelous. And just to think about it, that may not be a week away, a month away, 6 months. And it just should cause us just to serve the Lord with all. After this morning and going over there and feeling the presence of God and seeing those little people come up out of the water, it's such a wonderful thing. And that the brother is certainly doing a wonderful job baptizing him. Brother Jordan. Boy, for a man that don't have nothing to say, man, I tell you, that George Bradley's something else. Oh, my, I tell you, that man gets a baptism of the Holy Ghost, boy. look out.
Amen.
Firepower hits all that. It's down here, George Brown, I tell you. Lord me, I don't know what country is waiting for George, but I'm sure it's going to sure get a shaking wherever it's at. How many say amen to that? My, that man has sure got it down in him. Well, we're thankful to God for all these things. Makes my heart happy. Kenny and I were talking. We stopped by to lick on an ice cream cone together after the baptism. And we was talking about how blessed both of us was. We was telling one another how blessed we was just to be here in this fellowship. And how wonderful it was to see that the Lord Jesus led that little Japanese lady all the way from Japan, a Buddha. Just worshiping the Buddha. Hallelujah. Let her marry that American boy. Probably some people frowned on that. You better watch out. I know. You know, Moses married a kind of dark-skinned Egyptian one time, and some people got in trouble too, you know. But thank that God watches over his elected ones. And thank that he led her all across the ocean out of all those Japanese people. And led that little lady right around and led her right over here and let her sit right down. And then to be up here ministering and see her eyes coming open. I tell you, children, that's such a wonderful thing. To know that God has given you bread from heaven, and you know that you got bread. You just know that you got bread. And then know and see that soul eating that bread. That's just the most blessed thing it ever was. And see them eating it, knowing that they're receiving eternal life while they're receiving it. Eternal life. And that soul can never die. As Kenny was telling me, I witnessed to this young man on the road, and the Lord led him in there, and he got to talking to him about the Lord Jesus in Acts 2:38, and the poor fella, just the Baptist man, just puckered up, and his eyes all welled up, and crying, and then the devil anointing another man there, and he was trying to get away from what Kenny was telling him, and Kenny just went on humble telling him about the Lord anyway, you know, and finally the man turned around and said, "Would you shut up?" He said, "God's speaking to me." So I really enjoyed that testimony, and I said, "Just think, Kenny, you don't know you sowed a seed there. That may have been one God's little elected seed. And just think then, if it is, you'll have a part in that poor little soul receiving eternal life." Now just think of it. Maybe he could fix his tire. Maybe he could have gave him $5 to buy some gasoline with and never seen him again. But just think, if you could influence a soul to eternal life. See, that's wonderful. And so we're thinking how marvelous God's grace is that would lead each one of us here by His Spirit. And just think there's hardly maybe a couple families in this church that was in this area. But you've come from all over the world. And then look down in here in the Bible. Now that's strange enough right there. But then look down here in the Bible and see yourself in all these scriptures coming to life. And Kenny said, "Brother Bob, I believe it, but I just can't get it. It's just too marvelous." I said, "I know it, I can't either. But I said, I just think had to be somebody and I'm it, that's all. I'm just receiving as me. It's talking about me here in these scriptures, and I'm just believing and receiving it." How many's glad you're there? Marvelous. Now, before I forget it, I want to thank Brother Bingham for making these little lights here. I certainly appreciate that. And I meant to thank Brother Bingham before the congregation. How many is out there is glad your eyes isn't sore anymore? I tell you, I've burnt my eyes several times sitting over here and looking up this way at Brother Ruddle, one of the brothers speaking, or Brother McGee. It burned my eyes. So we're thankful to God the Lord laid upon Brother Bingham's heart to do that. And Brother Bingham, you did a good job. They look nice. You know, that building's getting awful fancy, isn't it? Carpet on the floor, and now nice shades on it. We're really going there, aren't we? So we're thankful. I like this old building, don't you? Amen. I just looking forward to God really doing this marvelous thing right here in this old building. Now, we got the letters off before Forget It and the invitations out to the brothers. And so, since we hear from, we'll be letting you know how they've recovered from the shock of coming to the big United States. How many's excited about them coming? Boy, I know my wife and I are really excited. And I tell you, if you heard a little bit from Shafi Mohammed on tape, you wait till he gets here in person. He sure is a fireball if you ever seen one. Him and Mike Candle make two good buddies. And so we'll be looking to have a wonderful time this summer. And we'll just have a lot of extra services and try to get Brother Don and Brother Mike and get as many as we can that is token believers, you know, here to fellowship together. Now, without any further ado now, and if you'll open your Bibles, I just want to read this last scripture that I used this morning. That's John 9:62. And we're just, I mean Luke, I said John, didn't I? Luke 9:62. And Jesus, well, let me back up and read about this one last man here. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hands to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now let's just ask the blessing on God's word. Lord, your word's so precious these days, Father. We're so thankful that your word's coming to life, every little scripture, every verse and every line. How we thank you for this marvelous, glorious revelation. We're just not worthy, Lord, to receive such a revelation. But Lord, somebody here on earth had to receive it, and you chose us to receive it. So Father God, with faith believing, we thank thee and we praise thee for it, that you have enabled us to be the ones to receive it. And now, Lord, we pray that you'll bless this scripture and give us more understanding, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, just kind of adding just about 5 or 6, 7 minutes before communion, some of the things we were saying this morning. And that is, I believe, by reading this scriptures, we can see here is the great word test. The great word test to thin down the peoples that are claiming to go to heaven in this last day as far as the rapture is concerned. And we see here how Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the revealed word for that day, saying that this same ministry of the Son of Man, which is prophet. Now, a lot of people don't understand that because a major prophet has been here on the scene an Old Testament prophet, and there's so much confusion about the prophet in this hour. Many say there will be no more prophets, and all kinds of misunderstandings, and some say that, well, Brother Branham was an Old Testament prophet, and he wasn't a New Testament prophet. But they don't understand, I believe, as Jesus said one time, you do err not knowing the Scriptures, neither the power of God. But Brother Branham was an Old Testament prophet. And also he was a New Testament prophet. He was an apostle, evangelist, a pastor, and a teacher. And then Brother Branham also played the part as the seventh church age messenger. And he had the Spirit of Christ upon him, making him the anointed one for the hour. If you was going to hear from God in this hour, this last church age, if you didn't hear it from the mouth of Brother Branham, you wasn't hearing the anointed word of God. And so he had the Spirit of Elijah upon him, the Spirit of Moses, and the Spirit of Christ. And he had the Son of Man's ministry, that part of it, as far as the shout was concerned. And that was bringing back a solid foundation for the rest of the Son of Man ministry to stand on. And you know, a prophet can only say what another prophet said. Another, if there's any other prophets here on earth today, they'll have to add to the message of Brother Branham, that prophet, and take that message on and bring more to it.
Amen.
Or it's not a prophet.
Amen.
And so we see that Jesus Christ here in these scriptures that I read this morning said that in that day when the Son of Man is being revealed, in other words, when the revelation is coming forth on the Son of Man, when it's been revealed to you, it's been opening up to you, and your eyes can see and understand what God means by the Son of Man. And Son of Man is the Word. And we've misunderstood that. And the second coming of the Lord Jesus wasn't to bring his resurrected body back down on the earth and show us his, why everybody believed then. He'd come down and do those things and disappear in your presence and show you the nail prints in his hand. Sure you believe. But we got to be the most, this has got to be the greatest faith in the Bible.
Amen.
Rapture and faith. And so, therefore, God is going to let us see the Lord Jesus Christ in the revealing of the Son of Man. And he's been and where is he being revealed from? It's heaven. God, the Lord, is revealing himself from heaven, coming down through the shout, through the voice. And it said, in that day, as we said this morning, said it would be like it was in the days of Lot. And said, remember Lot's wife. And I thank Brother McGee. It blessed my heart. And when I went out in the car and sat down there, Brother McGee walked up and opened his Bible and showed me where the prophet of God, William Branham, and he had it wrote down on the edge of his fly leaf of his Bible and wrote down what the prophet William Branham said, wrote it out there on the side, and it makes little notes there of what Brother Branham said about this certain scripture. Now, you remember, if I ever contradict what that major prophet said in the message, now, you all realize something has taken place and you believe it. And I've asked you time and again, and you, when you hear ministers say, don't listen to the tapes. That's for the preachers, and they'll tell you what's on tape, and you watch out. And I told you to search the book, search the tapes. And if you can find in this revelation of that one that's appearing to me and telling me these things, if you can find on there one time that it ever contradicts the revelation that William Branham brought, then you bring it to me and show it to me. And I've never had a person ever, I might disagree with Brother Branham on a little something, like where he said Billy Graham had the Holy Ghost. But I tell you, if I ever got Brother Branham out back of the church and got to talking to him on the Word of God, he'd wink at me.
Amen. 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 Amen.
So that's the only fault that they can, people can find with my preaching, that I contradict Brother Branham. I probably do a lot of contradictions along that line because it wasn't his ministry to tell it that plain.
Amen.
But it is my ministry to tell it just like it is in the book. Because there's nobody asking me to come and hold any meeting.
Amen.
So I can just tell it like it is. I don't need any evangelist to go out evangelizing and getting cooperation in the cities. And no, God's going to do a different thing. He's going to be the evangelist and the field manager both in this. And he'll set up all the itineraries and everything. But no, Brother Branham couldn't tell it plain like that. But I can tell it plain like that. I can just tell it real plain by the Word of God. Billy Graham ain't got one speck of the Holy Ghost. And neither has any of the other preachers. They ain't got only... do they not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but the Son of Man is revealing they're not even born again.
Yes, sir.
And I think the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, does it so good. He does it so good because he snares people with the revelation. He snares them into admitting they don't have the token because what they got, as Brother Cannon said, won't operate right.
Amen.
And he gets them to admit they don't have the token. And when they admit they don't have the token, they wake up a few months later to find out they only got a half of the story. They wake up a few months later to find out they're not even born again. And then God's already snared you out of your own mouth. And so what's happening is what Jesus said. We're seeing what the Lord Jesus said would take place. That where the carcass was, the body, the eagles would be gathered around that white eagle there. The carcass body. Jesus Christ is the white eagle, and he is revealing his carcass body, and his eagles is feasting upon that. Now notice here. Now God's got it so made up. He's got it so made up. His revelation is so made up that when people start to come now and in the future to hear the revelation of the mystery of the seventh seal, when they come to hear this message that's getting ready to cross the country, has to start somewhere, and when they come and hear that message of the full body reveal word, God is doing just exactly like he did here in the first coming of the Son of Man. He puts that word out there to guard the mercy seat.
Amen.
He puts the sword of the revealed word out there to guard this great thing that he's going to give out. And look here how he done it. So plain and so plain and so right to the point here with these three different men that he spoke to, see. And he said, this man said, well, he got to go and bury his daddy. Now, I see, he acts like he believed. See, he couldn't do with nothing with the revelation that Jesus was bringing.
Amen.
He knew that that was supernatural. He couldn't tear it up, and it overcome him. Now, if you ever go where, say, 99% of the people is against the revelation, they can't do nothing with it. It breaks them down. They can't resist it. It just breaks chains and just goes right through armor and everything. It disarms them. Takes their swords, takes everything they got, and piles them over in a corner, and they sit there helpless before the revelation. And a lot of them shake their head and go right along with it, see, because they know that they can't fight it. As Brother Ruddle said after he heard the revelation down, he said, nothing but another fool would try to stand against such a perfect revelation. Now, these men here, they couldn't stand against that word test that Jesus was given. And one of them said, well, I'll follow you. And Jesus put the word test out there to him. He said, all right, let the rest of your relatives bury your father, and don't you even go home for his funeral. Now that become a word test to that man. Now I'd venture to say that the man more than likely went on back home. Maybe he didn't make it, I don't know, but anyway, he had a word test. He said, let the dead, your mother and father and all those that surround your father, if they don't believe this message and don't want to hear what I got to say about it, said, they're already dead.
Amen.
They're already dead. And then the next one, he said, let me go and bid them farewell. Now notice here, in the last verse, Jesus said to that man that wanted to go bid his family farewell, his relatives. Now notice here what he's doing. He admitted there that he put his hand to the plow. Did you ever see anybody plow with a mule? I've plowed. Now a man that's plowing, he's got to follow the horse. Put the point of the plow, tip it up, and get it down in the ground. And he's got to plow straight.
Amen.
Now there's one thing for sure that you can't do. And that is, you can't be looking around at the cars going by or the train going by and be looking around plowing, because when you get about a halfway down through there, you look back and you done find you got an awful gap, and you're just throwing, you got an awful crooked furrow. And you look back down through there, and here's the way it looks, all around like that. But it certainly is beautiful to see a field that's plowed right. To see that plow going down through there, and that man right a hold of it, going right down through there, following the mule, going right down through there, and his furrows just as straight as an arrow, just knocking them right off. He's got to keep his eye on what he's doing.
Amen.
Now here's this man here said, now, he admits he believes the revelation. Now he's overcome by Jesus preaching on a token. He's overcome by that revelation Jesus is bringing on the token.
Yes,
that's
amen.
What he's preaching, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Was he? How many say amen?
Amen.
Jesus' message was the kingdom of heaven, the token.
Amen.
And the kingdom of heaven is one and the same. And this man was overcome by the power of that revelation. And so he blurted out, said, let me go home, and I got some relatives to visit. Now, what did he do? He showed right there that he put his hand to the plow. And then after he put his hand to the plow, he turned back around and looked back over there at what was at home. See, there's something there at home he didn't want to give up. It may not have been the relatives. I don't know what it was, but Jesus knew what it was. Jesus knew what it was back there at home. And what did he say? He said, you stay here and preach this token. See? Now show right there, Jesus turned around and said, no man or a woman or a man, there's no man or woman that's even fit to receive the kingdom of heaven, the token, having once put his hand to the plow and then turns around and looks back and said, he or she is not even fit to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They're not even fit for the kingdom of heaven. Because if you're not fit to receive the kingdom of heaven, you're sure not fit to go into heaven. If you're not fit for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're sure not fit for the millennium. And Jesus said here that a man or a woman that would admit that revelation is true and then find some excuse to keep from getting in there and move with the thing, sell out to it and take up the cross and follow after the Lord Jesus Christ and lose their life. See? That man didn't want to lose his life. There was something back over there at home and he couldn't give up, and he wanted just time to get back over there and think it all over. After he had already admitted out of his own mouth that he believed it. He said, I'll go over and visit my relatives, and then I'll come back here, and I'll get right in here and work for revival and seek the token. And Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and turned around and looked back, he's not fit for this great glorious thing that I'm ready to do. Now, dear friend, brother and sister, here we see the fallacy of Pentecost. Here, Pentecost, all they had to do is to come up front, get down, and speak in tongues, and they had the kingdom of heaven.
Yes, that's
It goes to show you that you didn't have to be too fit to receive what was being put out then. Just about anybody could come right off the street and any condition at all, come right up front, and just because they want the Holy Ghost, they come right up here and get speaking in tongues. But now you see there's a vast difference in the Holy Ghost that Pentecost claimed they got. There's a vast difference between that Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost that I'm preaching about.
Yes, yes.
Brother, you don't, brother, sister, you don't get this on no platter. You don't get this with no lollipop sticking out of your mouth. You got to prove to God that you're fit to receive such a great, glorious thing, or you don't get it. Jesus said you ain't fit for it. It's like Brother Branham was baptizing people in Ohio River, and some man longer said, you're going down to the lady there, said, you're going down, let Billy duck you. She said, I don't mind getting ducked. And that prophet of God turned around and said, get out of this line. You ain't fit to be baptized in the precious name of Jesus. Go back to the altar and repent all over again. There's a man that realized the word of God and the promise of the hour that he was forerunning was worth more than everything in this world, and she wasn't fit for it. And Jesus knew here that if that man thought more of those relatives over there at home or whatever it was that's holding him back, Jesus knew that he would make a fit subject to go into his kingdom and domain. And he told him so. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looketh back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. And did you know that you can't serve Christ looking through a rear view mirror?
Amen.
You cannot drive God's highway today. You cannot drive up God's highway today and try to drive it by looking in a rear view mirror.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You'll crack up as sure as the world, and neither can a man plow straight with the Word of God and walk with the Word of God and looking back, maybe I made a mistake. Well, I don't know whether I ought to be here or not. Maybe this ain't right. See? After you already put your hand to the plow and then you're turning around looking back, Jesus said you ain't fit. Now, do you see why that every person that goes into the kingdom of heaven, the great baptism of the Holy Ghost, will have to pass that word test? Can't we see by these things that Pentecost, that claimed to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, how could they have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the kingdom of heaven, when they had not even received the word test yet? They never received no word test at all. While there was nothing there to even test them with. But, oh, now the Son of Man's got something here to test you with. He'll find out whether you're fit for the great kingdom of heaven or not, whether you're fit at all or not. He'll find out whether or not you're going to make a fit subject for the body of Christ. I tell you one thing, God has got the best material to pick from. He's got the best material to pick from. And he gives all the material that comes before him, he gives them the acid word test. The acid word test to see whether or not those that's claiming to believe the revelation, he sees whether or not they are worthy to be worthy subjects to go into the body of Christ. Because God don't make no mistakes, friend.
Amen.
There's a lot of Pentecostals made a lot of mistakes, but jerking people's chin and getting them down to say, Jesus, 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 and you got it. And I tell you, the body of Jesus Christ would have been in a pitiful condition tonight if everybody that was in there got in there, Brother Grayville, by speaking in tongues, wouldn't it? But, oh, God, be praised that he let his great seals be opened up so that there could come forth a word test out there to see whether or not we're going to be fit subjects to go into the body of Christ, because all that go into the body will have to first come to the flaming sword.
Yes.
And if you can't get by the flaming sword, you ain't going into the body. So the first test is whether or not you can pass the great sword of the Lord. Can you stand all that cutting when it gets through with you? Can you stand there and let the revealed word cut you down and take everything away from you that ought to be taken away from you? and make you a fit subject for the body of Christ. Dearly beloved, if we don't grab a hold of this plow with both hands and keep our eyes straight ahead on the token of God, we ain't fit subjects for the body of Christ.
Amen.
We'll not go in there. But oh, for a brother and sister that'll realize how great it is to have Jesus Christ come down and tabernacle himself in you and to never die and live for eternity and be a little God here upon the earth. Why, it's worth giving up everything that's in this world and count it as dung and as not as God. It's not even, I tell you, it's horrible to even, let a thought into your mind that it's not worth. As I use that word much, and you hear it used a lot today, devaluating. See, the preachers that so devaluated the worth of receiving the great baptism of the Holy Ghost that they believe that anybody can receive it. Praise the Lord. Just come down here and raise your hands and say so and so until you speak in tongues and you got it and you ain't got it.
That's right. Amen.
You first got to come to the word test.
Amen.
And then when you take your test, you see whether or not you're worthy. Now we can tell whether or not we're worthy. We can tell whether or not we're going to be worthy subjects for the kingdom. And that is, if we are willing to die,
amen,
that's all that it takes. Just die. Are we willing to die? Are we willing to forsake our lives? Because that's what's going to cost us.
Yes.
Except if a man seek to save his life, he'll lose it.
Yes.
See, and we're trying to be worthy. Some of us are trying to be worthy for the kingdom of heaven, but we're still trying to hold to the plow and kind of look back.
Amen.
Can't do it. Jesus said you can't serve two masters.
Amen.
You'll either love the one or despise the other.
Yes, sir.
You can't serve God and mammon.
Amen.
You can't serve mammon and God at the same time. You either got to serve one or the other. But when we can look and see how great it is, to see that we have a blessed opportunity to live for eternity, to never die. Just to think about it when you look around and see that you're just born the other day and now your body's all, it's soft and doughty, it's rotten, it's falling apart, it's creaking and cracking and hair's falling out of it. You have to lay it down and pet it and pamper it to try to get it to make through the day. And you see everybody around you miserable. See people in America thinking if they can attain to a $60,000 home, $25,000 a year coming in, a Cadillac sitting in the driveway, a sports car in the back of the garage, and this and that, and thinking if they can just attain that, and if they'd only look up the history of the multitudes of hundreds of thousands in the United States that have attained to it, and as soon as they attain it a year later, blow their brains out. Hung theirself in their bathroom, drowned theirself in the Roman pool. But they won't. Devil won't let them look at that. See? But they'll try to attain to something like that that's no value at all.
Amen.
And then to think that God would give us the blessed opportunity to come and feast upon the marriage supper of the Lamb, to have a blessed opportunity to come to the wedding, to come into the body of Christ, to come into the kingdom of heaven, and be able to preach that and witness and testify about the kingdom of heaven that's being preached, that men are pressing their way into it. Oh, how could we ever once put our hand to the plow and even dare turn our head around to look back to where we come out of?
Amen.
Realizing that everything we come out of before up
Amen.
Until now, it only made us sick.
Yes, amen.
It only made us sick, like Jesus said, like a dog that vomited up what he'd been eating and made him sick. And he vomited up, and then later the dog turned around and ate his own vomit up. And he said, that's the way people be in the end time. Once they'll vomit up the thing that made him sick and turn around and go and eat it back again, won't the thing make you sick again?
Amen.
If we've come out of the world and have made us sick to our stomach like an old city dump we lived on, huh? And then you get a chance to come to the great invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb and come into the kingdom of heaven, the body of Christ. How could we ever put our hand to the plow, brother and sister, and even dare us turn our head around to even look part way back? Jesus said, if we put our hand to the plow and look back, he said, no man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the token. You're not fit for it. Who's it going to be fit for? It's going to be fit for men and women that seen the promise and grabbed the hold of the plow with both hands and kept their eye on the promise and pressed away into it. That's who's going to be fit for it. Let's pray. How many here while our sister comes to organ and piano? How many here tonight heard these few little words that wants to be fit subject for the kingdom of heaven? You want to be fit. Put your hands to the plow and don't even dare look back and just plow straight furrow like Elisha did. You know, Elijah come by to anoint a man in his stead. And you know, he found a man that was plowing a straight furrow. While he was plowing right down the furrow, making another straight furrow, the prophet of God walked right by him and laid his mantle over on him, and he felt the power of God for the first time. He got his first baptism. Oh, my. He is never the same again. And when you once taste of the revealed word of God and the power of the great token to come, how could we ever turn our head around and look back? But just press on to the great token of God. Dear Lord, God, help us, O Lord, to grip the plow with a steady hand, Father, to keep our eyes set like a flint toward the token, the great kingdom. Lord, we want to be fit subjects to enter into that great body. Oh, Lord, when I look down at my Bible and I see these things that I'm preaching from and knowing that I'm preaching to men and women that's going to go into the body of Christ, oh, Lord, help me, Lord God, to be able to absorb it. And I don't know how to say it to you, Lord, but it's such a great thing. Realizing that all these things have laid here, all these hundreds and thousands of years. And now, Lord, our ears are hearing things too wonderful for us. Yeah. Oh, God, we're so blessed and so privileged to have this great opportunity to come into the body, Lord. We thank you for the word test that's here on earth today. We're thankful for those that are passing their examination, Lord. Thankful for those that's proven that they are fit for the great token. Lord, I'm thinking of a message you gave me the other day that I want to preach one day soon. Oh, God, help us, Lord, to just be able to comprehend a little more of what's taking place in our midst and in our lives, Lord. Help us to be able to hold a little more of it and have more understanding. Let it become joy to our hearts, Lord, just stimulate us to the uttermost, Father, to thank, Lord, that you've given us a chance to receive this great token. Now, Father, we pray that you'll bless these little cut-up words. We look forward to the day soon that we can close the blessed Bible and the Word will be made flesh again. Yes. What we've preached, Lord, will come to pass before our very eyes. Now, help us to be worthy, Lord, to receive that great glorious token, the kingdom of heaven. Thank you, Father, for another honor and a privilege to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ revealed in his own word today. Lord, we're again thankful that you've not chosen the great LLDs and the PhDs to preach your revelation. But God, you chose ignoramus and nothings and nobodies to preach it and to receive it. And Father, we're so thankful that we're serving that kind of a God tonight that's not impressed with the governor or the mayor of the city. But thou art only impressed by those who are fit for the kingdom of heaven. And so, Father, blessed are our ears that they've heard and our eyes that they see. We ask these things, Lord, and pray that thou would help those that raised their hands to be fit for that great day to enter into the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. All right, now if we'll sing a blood song, we'll have our communion. Let's sing number. How about power in the blood? What page is that? Sir? How many believe there's power in the blood? Ten. Page 10.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood.
Amen.
There is power.
and her whole. Because there's wonder working power in the blood. It's wonder working power in the blood. And the wonder is that he can change a sinner into a saint. Transform you and translate you out of what you was into what you ought to be. And of this we're very thankful. Now for brothers, we'll come forth now. We'll, I don't want to hold you too long tonight. I know you must be tired. Provided, but he provided a way.
Amen.
I wouldn't know you and you wouldn't know me. Well, we're here tonight because of Jesus, because of his sacrificial death, what he accomplished at us at Calvary. So communion is a great thing. We're communion and fellowship with one another because of Christ being revealed in his word. And we're being washed from our sins by the bleeding, bloody, revealed word of God. And we have fellowship one with another. Why? The only reason why we got fellowship is because of the revealed bleeding word. And then I look at you and I see God. And we see God in one another because we are purchased by the blood of God. So therefore, we don't come to the communion table just lackadaisical and insincere. But we realize that wasn't for the shed blood, we'd all be lost tonight and out in the world. But we're here tonight because of the blood. And so, realizing we're just mortals, and we may stumble and fall and make mistakes, and you may know a sister, maybe is making a mistake. Maybe she's not where she ought to be. And you're praying for her. This is the time to do it now. Paul said, tarry ye one for another and pray for one another. So let's take just a few seconds to bow our head, and I'm going to pray for you and you pray for me. Let's see your hands if you got faults. Let's see your hands. Whole congregation. I got mine up too. Now I'm going to pray for you and we're going to pray for one another. The Lord Jesus, forgive us of all of our shortcomings and all our mistakes. Dear Father, we wait upon you in your presence. Realize that you come down in this little old building many, many times with thy great August presence. And we know that you're right here tonight, watching over your revelation, because you love your revelation. You honor it above your name. And Lord, I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you counted me worthy to put me into the ministry. And Lord, you saw my heart. You called me and chose me, and you give me this revelation to feed your sheep with. And because that I love your sheep, Lord, you reveal the word to me. And they're hearing your voice, not my voice, Lord, but your voice. So therefore, Lord, we love one another together. And Lord, it's the throb of my heart, Lord, my heart's desire is to see my sisters here. and my brothers to see them sealed, baptized into the body. And Lord, we're not resting hardly. We don't find no resting place, as our sister sang tonight here. But oh Lord, we're seeking a rest for our souls. That restful body of Christ, the house of God. So Lord, we pray for one another. Forgive each and every one, Lord, of their faults, their mistakes and their blemishes, Lord. Cover us all underneath the blood and forgive us and help us to do everything we can to please you in these closing hours of time. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now, reading from Matthew, the 26th chapter. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Let us pray. Oh Lord God, this communion bread baked by sanctified hands from a sainted sister of this church, representing the broken body of the Lord Jesus. Not a bone was broken, Lord, the scripture has said. But the scripture also said there was never a man beat like this man was. He suffered in his human body. Father, we pray that you'll bless this bread, realizing it's representing your body. Bless this bread, sanctified Father. Bless every person that partakes of it. In Jesus' name. Took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is the blood of the New Testament, the New Covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Let us pray. O Lord, this wine we are taught by the Apostle Paul and Jesus himself, Heavenly Father, this wine is to represent the blood that flowed from the veins of Emmanuel, God with us. It represents that blood that was shed for the remission of sin. Bless this wine, Lord, sanctified. May the people that drink of it, may they be healed, delivered. May the power of God rest upon them. In Jesus' name we ask.